This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In the summer of 1803, President Thomas Jefferson dispatched Captain Meriwether Lewis and William Clark to lead an expedition through the vast, uncharted wilderness of the New West. Their 7,000-mile voyage of discovery still fascinates Americans, and in this, the 200th anniversary year of the expedition, there are new books examining almost every aspect of the legendary trek. One book in particular caught our attention because it answered an interesting question. Just how did the explorers feed themselves during their 2 years away from civilization? The answer can be found in meticulous diaries that Lewis and Clark both kept. Here's an excerpt from the Lewis diary.
To myself, I assigned the duty of cook. I collected my wood and water, boiled a large quantity of excellent dried buffalo meat, and made each man a large suet dumpling by way of a treat.
Using those diaries and other research, Leslie Mansfield put together the Lewis and Clark Cookbook, a collection of more than 100 recipes from the era that use historically accurate ingredients, from exotic game to prairie roots to freshwater fish.
They talked about food constantly because it was constantly on their mind. They had to provide themselves with about 9 pounds of meat a day per man. They're always trying to find vegetables.
I've got to stop you there.
Okay.
9 pounds of meat per man?
Per day.
Is that possible?
Well, apparently so. Of course, they were burning an enormous amount of calories, poling and hiking and portaging over falls.
So they set off on this journey with 7 tons of foodstuffs. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about their provisions and what a daily menu might look like.
Well, they started out with all kinds of parched meal, hominy, salted pork, hardtack biscuits, and pepper, salt, some dried apples, and a lot of whiskey. But that was used up pretty quickly.
Among their crew, there were certain men that were dedicated to hunting and gathering.
Right. There are the hunters that went out every single day and brought in the meat, and then other people would salt it and jerk it.
And I guess their menu would change as they headed west. What were they hunting for?
Well, they saw their first buffalo in Kansas, and they killed and ate their first buffalo in South Dakota. And that turned out to be their favorite meat. Everything they shot, they ate.
Lots of large game, bear,
lots
elk.
Of large game, elk, deer, antelope, and small game too. Beaver, hawks, lots of fowl, all kinds of fish. And then they found a few roots. They weren't very adept at finding them. Thank goodness they had Sacagawea along. She was actually out foraging for roots. And she knew exactly where to look to find Jerusalem artichokes and different kinds of things. She even suggested eating some pine bark at one point when they were very hungry up in the mountains, and that helped sustain them.
How would they generally prepare their food? Large bonfires, barbecues, or would they jerk or salt most of the meat and then carry it with them as they traveled?
Well, they would roast the meat. They also had some brass kettles, pots, so they would stew it, and they would also make soup with whatever roots they could find at that time with the meat. And then for carrying the remainder, they would salt it or jerk it. And so they put low smoky fires on overnight and put the thin pieces of game over that. And hopefully would be ready to go the next day. Unless, of course, it was pouring rain, and then they couldn't preserve it. They had to eat it, and also they ate a lot of tainted meat.
Was there a lot of illness because of that?
You would think there would be more illness than there was. I think they had pretty strong constitutions. But they also took along this medicine called Rush's Thunder Pills.
And what was that?
And it was a powerful purgative. And when the men ate too many roots that they couldn't digest, you know, they all had terrible cramps, and they would all get a dose of Rush's. And I think the main ingredient was mercury.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised they survived that.
It's a surprise they survived anything.
Now, let's go through the book, beginning with a chapter that you call Gardens and Grains. All of these ingredients would have been the kinds of things that that Lewis and Clark would have found on their journey or that Thomas Jefferson may have had access to in Virginia. And let's start with something that you don't hear much about in these times, salsify. What is salsify?
Salsify is a winter root, and it's white. It resembles a carrot, and it has a very sweet, rather starchy flavor. But Thomas Jefferson thought it tasted like oysters when it was fried in butter, so it was commonly called the oyster plant. And you can get that through specialty grocers.
How do we prepare this salsify, if you could just quickly describe for us this?
Salsify discolors quickly, so when you peel it, you need to put it in a pot of water that's acidulated with either a little vinegar or lemon juice, and that will keep it nice and white. And then you just simmer it until it's barely tender, and then sauté it with a little butter, shallots, and it brings up the flavor beautifully.
And is this something that they would cook over a campfire?
Or absolutely. And they brought salsify back to Jefferson, who grew it in his gardens at Monticello.
Now, we also have big game. You noted that they dined on their first buffalo in South Dakota, was it?
Yes, South Dakota.
And did they eat buffalo ribs at that point, or was it the buffalo stew with the suet dumplings? That's, I guess, one of the recipes here in the book.
Well, they did. They had them both. As soon as they got to buffalo country, they ate buffalo regularly, and they loved it. And the buffalo stew was actually made by Lewis. He was ahead of the Corps, and they had killed some buffalo, and so he made a stew and a suet dumpling for each of the men by way of a treat.
What is a suet dumpling?
Well, suet is merely beef fat that's around the kidney, and so you would just make a dumpling with that versus butter or lard.
Now, is this suet?
It's almost like gnocchi.
Ah, and is this the kind of thing that you could find at the local butcher?
You can always ask your butcher for suet.
You also have recipes for elk, for venison. Are these items tough to find?
They would be tough to find at a common grocery store, but in the back of this book I have resources for all of the items, including bear meat.
And where does one find bear meat?
It's all farm-raised, and again, I have three sources that you can call and order it. And the bear meat is absolutely delicious.
I just want to ask you about one last recipe, which you say is now making a comeback, the kind of thing that we might find in one of the finer restaurants in New York or San Francisco or elsewhere. Blancmange. Let me say that again.
Oh, blancmange. Oh, yes, it's wonderful. It's it was a very famous dessert. It's very elegant. It also has its history in the Middle Ages of Europe. And it's merely a nut milk that is thickened with gelatin and sweetened, and it's just wonderful, served with berries.
Now, are these recipes that you use in your own kitchen?
Absolutely. I cook out of this book constantly. And Thanksgiving, we had the roast goose with chestnut dressing and the biscuits, maple sugar pie. We had all of those things.
Mm, sounds delicious. Leslie, thank you for joining us.
Oh, Michelle, thank you.
Leslie Mansfield wrote the Lewis and Clark Cookbook, Historic Recipes from the Corps of Discovery and Jefferson's America. To get the recipe for buffalo stew, go to our website, npr.org.